Hare Krishna. So Krishna gave a very nice analogy. He said that a yogi is like a lamp in a windless place. A yogi's consciousness or yogi's mind is like a lamp in a windless place, very, very steady. And he always remains steady in his meditation on transcendental self. Now, in the verses that we are going to discuss in this video, we will see that how or what are the symptoms of a person who is there in Samadhi? What are the different things that he has already achieved or going to achieve? So these are given in Shloka number 20 to 23. Yatro paramate chittam nirudham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam Pashyannatmani tushyati Sukham atyantikam yattad Buddhigrayam atindriyam Veti yatra na chaivayam Stitaschalati tattvatah Yam labdhvacha param labham Manyate nadhikam tatah Yasmin stito na dukhena gurunapi vichalayet tam vidya dukha samyoga viyogam yoga sangnitam. So in these very nice shlokas it is described yoga sangnitam. So a person who is there in samadhi, the person who is there in trance, the description is given about him. Now, what are the different aspects about this personality? First, yatra uparamete chittam nirudham. So, the mind, the chittam of this person is completely restrained, nirudham, from all the material mental activities. So, this is a very nice point, you know, to note. Nirudham, restrained from all material activities. How he has attained this? Yoga sevaya, by practice of yoga. Now the next it is given is yatra chaiva eva atmana atmanam pashyan. So this personality, what is he doing? He has attained perfection and it is characterized by his ability to see the self by pure mind. Atmana atmanam pashyan. So he is able to see. He is able to see atma or self by pure mind. And Atmani Tushyati, he is now relishing, rejoicing in self. He is on spiritual platform, transcendental platform. And then Sukham Atyantikam Yattad Buddhi Grayam Atindriya. Now in this Atyantikam Sukham that he has got, that is in the joyous state, boundless transcendental happiness he is situated in. And this he has realized through transcendental senses. Buddhi grayam atindriyam. And then it is given Veti yatra na chaiva vayam stitas chalati tattvatah. Now he is established in this transcendence and now he never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tatah. There is no truth greater than this, manyate na adhikam tataha. And then, yasmin stito na dukhena gurunapi vichalayet. Yasmin stito, now he is established in that point, na dukhena. He is actually free now. He is free from all the miseries. And, gurunapi vichalayet. Even in the greatest difficulty, one is never shaken. This is a very nice point. And tam vidyad dukha samyoga viyogam yoga sannitam. So tam vidyad dukha samyogam viyogam. So in such a state, the actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact is achieved. So these are the different aspects what a person has achieved in the state of samadhi. So let's discuss now some of the aspects in detail. By practice of yoga, one becomes gradually detached from material concepts. This is primary characteristics of yoga principle, and after this, one becomes situated in trance or samadhi. So this is the first thing, that is gradually detached from material concepts. So it's a, and in here in the shloka, the word is nirudham, nirudham. So this is a very nice thing. As soon as the person starts practicing spirituality, as he grows in his, or when he elevates his consciousness from material platform to spiritual platform, naturally there will be detachment from material things. So that's what is given here. Gradually detached from material concepts. And now after this, one becomes situated in trance or samadhi. Now what is a samadhi? Samadhi basically means the yogi realizes the super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence without any of the misgivings of identifying the self with the super self. Yoga practice is more or less based on the principles of Patanjali system. Now see here, there are some words which are very important. Transcendental mind and intelligence. What mind and intelligence, we know, they are part of subtle body. What is this transcendental mind and intelligence? Now, when a person reaches a certain level of transcendence, so here it is given that he realizes without any of the misgivings of identifying the self with super self. So firstly, he is above the bodily platform. Secondly, he has realized the super soul. And thirdly, he understands that he and super soul are different. They are not one. So at this platform, what happens is, all the mental material activities are ceased. Nirudham, that's what we saw. So at this state, what happens is, his subtle body is not into picture. But then, we have to understand one more thing. The soul has its own transcendental mind and transcendental intelligence. Spiritual mind and spiritual intelligence are there when it comes to the soul. So now the subtle mind and subtle intelligence, they are not working. Now what are working? The transcendental mind and transcendental intelligence are working at a very high spiritual stage. That's what this person is experiencing, the person in samadhi. Now it is given that purushartha. Now what are purushartha? We might have heard these words. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharma means religiosity. Dharma, artha means economic development. Kama, sense gratification. And finally, moksha. Now this moksha is, people talk about kaivalya. That is, they want to get merged or want to have oneness with the Supreme Person. Now this kaivalyam, according to Patanjali, is different, and according to an impersonalist or monist is different. Now according to a monist, kaivalyam means merging into the existence of the Lord. Especially merging into Brahman. That's what is kaivalyam for them. But now this kaivalya for the person who is practicing Patanjali Yoga system, that is what we are seeing, the Ashtanga Yoga. So for him it is potency by which the living entity becomes aware of his constitutional position. And this is very much in accordance to what we speak in Bhakti Yoga. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, or clearance of impure mirror of the mind. This clearance is actually liberation. In Bhagavatam, there is another statement that is given, that is Swarupena Vyavasthitihi. So there are three aspects that is given here. So two are common. That is, realizing one's own constitutional position. Swarupena Vyavasthitihi. Mukti Hitva Anyatha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthitihi. So what is mukti? What is liberation? When the person comes back to his original constitutional position of being the servant of Krishna, that is actually the liberation. And here, another point about liberation is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Now the heart is filled with so much of contamination. Now when that gets cleansed, very nicely by the practice of spirituality, and for the devotees, bhakti yogis, it's chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, what happens? The heart which is completely filled, or the mind which is completely filled with so much of contamination, that is getting cleansed and that gets purified. So that is also one of the symptoms of liberation. Now here, the aspect of nirvana is given. Nirvana. After nirvana or material cessation, there is the manifestation of spiritual activities or devotional service to the Lord known as Krishna consciousness. So this is very logical also. When the person goes away from various materialistic activities, automatically, here we see there will be manifestation of devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna. Swarupena Vavasthitihi, this is the real life of the living entity. Now, if this is the real life, then currently people are into something. Then what are they into? They're into illusion. And what is illusion? Illusion is the condition of spiritual life contaminated by material infection. When the person is into too much of sense gratification, too much of materialistic activity, he has got a disease, he has got an infection called material infection. And because of this disease, he is blinded. He does not understand what is his original constitutional position. That is, servant of Krishna. But then he tries to be the master of this material creation, material existence. And here, a very nice statement is given from Patanjali. That Patanjali also accepts this by this words, Kaivalyam Swarupa Pratishtha Va Chitti Shaktir Iti. So, Chitti Shakti or transcendental pleasure is real life. Now, this is confirmed in Vedanta Sutra also, a very famous statement. Anandamayo Bhyasat. This natural transcendental pleasure is the ultimate goal of yoga and is easily achieved by execution of devotional service or bhakti yoga. So this is a very nice thing to meditate on. That in spirituality, when the person progresses, finally something is waiting for him. And that is called as unlimited happiness, unlimited bliss. Everyone in this world is searching for that. Permanent, unlimited happiness or bliss. Everyone is searching for that. But who attains it? A person who elevates himself in Krishna consciousness or spirituality. So that's what we see here. Anandamaya Abhyasad. And this is actually the natural transcendental pleasure. Because originally, the form of the spirit soul is what? The nature of spirit soul is what? Satchit Ananda. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So this full of bliss, this state is attained. Or this state is revived. Revived is the right word because we are already having that. It is just revived with the elevation in Krishna consciousness. So when it comes to Ashtanga Yoga, it takes a lot of time to come to the state of Samadhi. But when it comes to Bhakti Yoga, the person immediately comes to that state. Why? Because now, more than he endeavoring, Krishna helps him in various ways. So he starts endeavoring. But as soon as he starts endeavoring, Krishna's intervention is there, where Krishna personally helps the devotee so that he attains that state very, very fast, very, very quickly. Now, there are some technical terminologies. There are two kinds of samadhi. This is just an information that we can know. Two types. One is sampragnata samadhi and asampragnata samadhi. Now, let's try to understand what is sampragnata and asampragnata. Now, technically, this sampragnata basically means meditation on gross objects. Now, that also has two categories. Meditation on objects. And that has two categories. Meditation on gross objects and meditation on subtle objects. So, meditation on gross objects is called as savitarka. And meditation on subtle objects is called as savichara. Now, it's just to remember, there is no need to think about how to do it. It is just some information that is given. And then there is something which is beyond this, something on a higher level. That is called as asampragnata samadhi, where the meditation does not have any object. So this particular thing is pretty much on a high level, and that is what is given here. In asampragnata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure. For one is then transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from senses. So there is no question of any object. So there is no question of any senses. So he does not derive any pleasure now from sense objects. But now he is deriving pleasure on a different platform altogether. Where is he deriving that from? When the yogi is once situated in that transcendental position, he is never shaken from it. He is deriving happiness from transcendental aspect. And now at this point, he will never be shaken, come what may. If the yogis are attracted by byproducts of yoga, then they cannot attain the stage of perfection as is stated in this verse. So if the byproducts like good health or some mystical powers, there are eight mystic siddhis. So if people start aspiring for that, then the ultimate goal of yoga they cannot get. That is, samadhi or in the state of samadhi, attaining that transcendental, unlimited happiness. But then, a very important point to note here is, the person shouldn't get shaken in various situations and circumstances. Very nice points given in these lines. As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely, so what are the demands? Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But a person who is in pure bhakti or in Krishna consciousness does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. So a Krishna conscious person, a devotee, he is taking care of the body, he is keeping the body and soul together. So when he is doing that particular activity, earning his livelihood to keep the body and soul together, he is sure that his senses will not get aroused. The demands of the senses will not increase. Why? Because he is busy doing devotional service. So when a person is doing devotional service, then all these different things are taken care of very, very nicely to keep the body and soul together. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a bad bargain and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. Now, a materialist will take pleasure on which platform? On the gross platform. So on the gross platform, he wants all luxury around. And he works like donkey day and night together. Why? Because he has to get all the luxury so that he can enjoy using this gross body. But then a devotee, he enjoys on the spiritual platform. So it hardly matters for him that what luxury is around. He just needs to take care of his basic bare necessities of life, just to keep the body and soul together. And he is going to relish something on a very, very spiritual, high spiritual platform, transcendental pleasure, unlimited bliss. So basically, he does not derive bliss from the material things around. And a very important thing, he is careless towards incidental occurrences such as accidents, disease, scarcity and even death of a most dear relative. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty, because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duties. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection in yoga practice. See, one thing is there. Depending on our past karma, many, many things are going to happen in our life. Maybe some the accidents might happen, some incidents might happen which might disturb us. Something which we have will be snatched away. Some people who are there close to us, they will be taken away from us. So all these things are going to happen. Everyone is going to go through this, because it depends on the past karma. But one thing is clear, that come what may, let anything happen, our practice of bhakti shouldn't deter, shouldn't go down. With same enthusiasm, with same determination, we have to keep practicing bhakti. Because getting this opportunity to practice bhakti is a very, very rare opportunity. And once we get this opportunity, come what may, we shouldn't give it up. And what is the incentive for that? The incentive is the transcendental happiness that we will get when we meet Lord Shri Krishna personally. So this point is very, very important to note, that looking at the goal, we should keep marching towards the goal without thinking twice about the current destructive situation that we are in or we will be in. In this way, now Krishna has described in these three verses various wonderful aspects about samadhi. Now in next two verses, he is going to describe about the methods to attain this particular state of yoga rudha. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.